Chapter 3.
Hey, sweetheart, Dad called out when Darcy came home. He was still dressed in the dark suit he wore to his job at an upscale men's clothing store.
Mom just left for work. Another nurse called out sick, so she's got a double shift tonight. I told her to say no, but you know your mother.
Darcy smiled. She knew Dad wanted to be the family provider. It bothered him that Mom worked so much. Yet she also knew her mother was not about to depend on Dad's money, not after what he had done. She remembered what Mom said 5 years ago after Dad ran out on the family. "I ain't ever going to depend on a man again." When Dad left, Mom sometimes worked 60 hours a week to take care of Darcy, Jamie, and Grandma, and to pay the rent. If it had not been for Mom's nursing job, the whole family would have been penniless. But Darcy knew that mentioning how important Mom's income had been would only hurt Dad's feelings. "How's Grandma?" she asked, noticing the empty wheelchair in the living room.
"She's fine," Dad said. "We were singing some old church hymns a little while ago. Your grandma don't sing much no more, but she likes to clap her hands. We had a good time, but she's resting now."
Darcy went to the kitchen and grabbed the telephone. She quickly dialed Hakeem's number. After a few rings, Hakeem answered,
"Yeah,"
with an unusual edge to his voice.
"Hakeem, it's me. I just wanted to know how your dad was. I mean, how are the tests?" Darcy asked.
"We didn't get any results yet. That's how this stuff is. It takes a while. But I got things to do around here, and I'm waiting for a call from my uncle. Can't we just talk tomorrow?" Hakeem asked.
"Yeah, I guess," Darcy replied, stunned at how abrupt Hakeem was.
A second later, she heard a click, and Hakeem was gone. She hung up the phone and leaned against the wall. "Hakeem has never treated me so rudely," Darcy thought. She knew he was under a lot of stress, but usually he talked to her, or at least tried to. She wanted to reach out to Hakeem, but she didn't know how, not this time. Frustrated, Darcy trudged into the living room and collapsed on the chair next to her father.
"What's bothering you, baby?" he asked.
"Nothing," Darcy grumbled, trying to hide her feelings.
"Come on, Darcy," Dad said. "I know something heavy's on your mind. What is it?"
Darcy took a deep breath. "It's Hakeem," she admitted. "His dad is very sick, and now he might have to move to Detroit with the family. I might never see him again." Her father nodded thoughtfully as she spoke. When she finished, he folded his arms on his chest and looked up as if he were searching for something in the ceiling.
"Well, now,"
he began, shifting his body several times.
"That's a tough one. I'm no expert on high school romances," he continued cautiously, appearing uneasy. "But I know most guys and girls usually don't stick with the people they date in high school. You're gonna like a lot of guys before you find the right one. Hakeem's a nice guy, but you'll meet others. Give it some time. You haven't even gone to college yet."
Darcy rolled her eyes at her father's words. How dare he suggest her relationship with Hakeem was trivial?
"Dad, I don't want anyone else," she yelled, struggling to calm herself. "I really care about Hakeem. Can't you understand that?"
"I'm sorry, baby,"
Dad said, lowering his head.
"It's okay," Darcy said, getting up.
She went to her bedroom, closed the door, and flopped down on her bed. A stack of boxes from the old apartment still sat in a corner of the room, but she didn't feel like unpacking them. She knew they contained relics of the past. Pictures, a few posters, stuffed animals, and some books. Looking through them now would just make her feel depressed, and she already felt sad enough. Darcy could not shake being bothered by what her father said. Part of her wished she had not told him anything, but another part wondered if Dad's words might be true. Arriving at school the next morning, Darcy saw Hakeem pull his motorbike into the parking lot. She hurried over to him.
"Hi,"
she said, trying to sound upbeat. "What's up?"
"Hey," Hakeem grunted, barely looking at her. "Dad is pretty sure that we'll be leaving, Darcy," he said in a somber voice. "The doctors say it'll be a while before he regains his strength, and my uncle promised him a good job, so Dad says we gotta go.
Darcy felt her legs buckle as if someone had pulled a trapdoor out from under her.
So when will you be leaving?
She stammered, steadying herself, her heart pounding heavily.
School gets out June 10th. We leave right after that, so it'll be in 2 weeks.
With those words, Hakeem turned away.
So soon? I didn't think things would happen so fast, Darcy said.
She knew tears were welling up in her eyes, but she didn't care. She wanted Hakeem to see how much he meant to her, how devastated she was. Tears rolled down both sides of her face.
Aren't you even upset?
Darcy challenged, angered by how unemotional he seemed.
This can mean the end for us.
Look, Darcy, don't make this any harder, Hakeem replied, finally turning around. I don't like it any more than you do.
Then he slung his backpack over his shoulder and headed toward Bluford. Darcy wanted him to say something else, something more, but he was silent. She felt cheated, as if events were conspiring to make her life miserable.
Hakeem, wait, Darcy cried. There must be something you can do to stay.
She hurried behind him as he spoke.
Darcy, just drop it, he snapped, turning back to her.
Darcy noticed for the first time that his eyes were puffy and red.
I'm moving to Detroit and that's it. There's nothing anybody can do about it.
Hakeem stormed off, leaving her standing alone in the parking lot. Through a blur of tears, Darcy watched him climb the steps into Bluford and vanish inside without looking back. At lunchtime, Darcy sobbed on Tara's shoulder.
He's leaving right after school's out, and he doesn't even care.
Of course he does, girl, Tara comforted her. Why else did he get so angry? You think he wants to leave all his friends behind and not be here to finish high school? He's leaving everything, not just you.
But we had everything all planned out, Darcy explained. We were going to go to the junior and senior proms together, and we graduate together in 2 years. And,
Darcy, I'm sure Hakeem wanted to do those things too, Tara interjected.
But he won't even talk to me, Darcy said. I feel like we used to be so close. But not anymore. Now he's just shut me out completely.
Darcy, that boy's whole family is in all kinds of turmoil. You hear what I'm saying? And Hakeem's gotta think of his family first. It's only right, Tara said. He's been your boyfriend for a few months, but he's been in that family for 17 years.
Before Darcy could reply, she noticed Brisana Meeks approaching the lunch table.
Oh, great. Here comes Brisana. Darcy mumbled.
The last thing she wanted to do was talk to her. Only a year ago, Darcy would have looked forward to seeing Brisana, but ever since Darcy had befriended Cooper and Tara, Brisana had become rude. Darcy had spoken to Brisana about her attitude, and it helped, but whenever Brisana saw Darcy with Tara or Cooper, she still seemed bitter and hostile. To make matters worse, Tara did not have much patience for Brisana. Each time the two girls got near each other, there was an uncomfortable tension between them. As Brisana got closer to the table, Darcy braced herself, hoping that Tara and Brisana would be civil to each other.
Hi, Darcy, Brisana said, ignoring Tara. I hear Hakeem is leaving Bluford. You must be upset, but not too upset, she added with a smile.
What are you trying to say, Brisana? Darcy asked.
I saw you riding around with Brian Mason yesterday, so I figure you're bouncing back from Hakeem real quick, she replied snidely.
Oh no, she's starting trouble again, Darcy thought.
Listen, Brisana, I'm just babysitting for his sister LaSalle after school, Darcy explained. He gave me a ride home, that's all.
Darcy, you don't have to explain nothing to her, Tara said, turning to Brisana. Girl, this ain't none of your business, and if you don't have anything else to say, then I suggest you get stepping right now, Tara added, rolling her neck with her hands on her hips.
Anyway, Brisana said, frowning and turning back to Darcy, I just thought you should know the kind of guy you're running around with.
I'm not running around with anyone, Brisana, Darcy snapped. All he did was give me a ride home because he was being nice. There's no law against that.
Trust me, Darcy, Brisana replied. It's an act. Brian Mason's only nice to girls because he wants one thing. You better stay away from him or you're going to run into trouble. Believe me, I know.
Girl, don't you be trying to make trouble, Tara said, standing up. You heard what Darcy said. He was just being nice. So you need to mind your own business like I told you before. Goodbye.
Brisana turned and stormed away without a word.
See? Tara said loud enough for Brisana to hear. That's how you have to handle her, girl. She's like one of those flies that try to ruin cookouts. You just gotta swat them away.
Darcy got up, shaking her head. She could not be bothered worrying about what Brisana said. Her mind was still on Hakeem. As she emptied her lunch tray, she wondered what would happen in the months to come.
I hope you don't stop living because of all this, Tara said, interrupting Darcy's thoughts.
What do you mean?
I mean, I hope you don't turn your life off once Hakeem leaves. You can still have fun, girl.
No, I can't, Darcy said softly, her voice beginning to crack. This ruins everything, especially the summer. I wanted us to do so many things together.
This won't ruin the summer, Tara insisted. Me and Coop have all kinds of things planned. We're going to be at the beach all the time, having cookouts and dancing. It'll be lots of fun.
Tara, Darcy wailed. Don't you understand? I can't just forget about Hakeem.
Girl, I ain't telling you to forget about him. You can write him letters and you can call him too, Tara said. But don't stop your life, girl. You ain't even a junior. You can't act like a widow.
Besides, if you don't stop all that crying soon, your eyeballs are gonna fall out of your head.
Darcy smiled. Thanks, Tara, she said, wrapping her arms around her friend. Just then, the bell sounded, signaling the end of lunch period. Darcy and Tara quickly headed into the hallway to get to their next class.
It'll be okay, girl, you'll see, Tara said, as she turned down a separate corridor.
Darcy was grateful for her friend's support, but as she watched Tara disappear in a crowd of students, she knew there would be more tears ahead. After school, Darcy went straight to LaSalle's apartment. It was her first day babysitting Kalina.
Hey, Darcy, LaSalle said, opening the apartment door. Come on in.
As Darcy entered, LaSalle grabbed a backpack from a nearby table.
Kalina's asleep in her crib. I left two bottles of milk in the fridge and some snacks on the kitchen counter, and there's a box of toys right next to the crib, LaSalle explained.
We'll be fine, Darcy replied. You just concentrate on school and don't worry about me and Kalina.
I'm kind of nervous about going back, LaSalle admitted. I've been out for so long, everything might sound like a different language to me.
LaSalle, you're going to do great, Darcy said enthusiastically. You'll be ahead of your class in no time.
Girl, I hope so. This is my chance to make a better life for me and my baby. I owe it to her, to both of us, LaSalle said, glancing toward Kalina's crib.
You're a good mom, Darcy said sincerely, and I'm sure Kalina's going to be real proud of you one day.
Thanks, Darcy.
LaSalle smiled and took a deep breath.
Well, I want to get there a little early on my first day. Maybe that'll calm these nerves down.
She waved goodbye and headed out the door. Darcy then went to check on Kalina. The baby was sleeping soundly, so Darcy tiptoed back into the small living room, grabbed her history textbook from her backpack, and sat on the couch. After several minutes of silence, she heard someone inserting a key into the door lock.
It must be Leslie, Darcy thought. She probably forgot a book or something.
Quickly, Darcy went to open the door. As she turned the knob, the door pushed open from the other side and Brian Mason stood before her.
Hi, Brian, Darcy said, unsure of what else to say.
LaSalle had not mentioned that he would be coming.
What's up, Darcy? He said with a smile.
Almost forgot you'd be here today.
Quickly, she backed away from the door so he could come into the apartment.
It's my first day on the job, Darcy explained. I just got here a little while ago.
She could smell Brian's cologne, strong but pleasant. He was wearing baggy black jeans, boots, and a snug black t-shirt, which emphasized his broad shoulders.
He is really handsome, Darcy thought.
Aren't you working today? She asked.
Yeah,
he answered, walking into the apartment with his hands behind his back.
I have to get to work, but I wanted to give you something for your first day here.
He pulled his arm from behind his back and gave Darcy a single red rose.
For you.
For an instant, Darcy was speechless. She could not believe Brian was given something so nice to her.
Oh my goodness, she exclaimed. A red rose, but why?
Because you're one beautiful girl, Brian said. And because it's your first day sitting with the baby. Consider it as a thank you from me, Kalina, and my sister.
Darcy took the rose. Thank you, Brian. It's beautiful. The delicate petals felt like red velvet in Darcy's fingers.
Well, I gotta go to work, Darcy. I just wanted to leave you with something special today, he said, turning toward the door. I'll see you again soon.
Then he walked out. In the quiet of the empty living room, Darcy examined the rose. No one, not Hakeem or anyone else, had ever given her a flower. Twirling the stem in her fingers, Darcy felt a thorn prick her thumb.
Ouch!
She cried, as a tiny bead of blood appeared where the thorn had stabbed her. Sucking the salty blood from her thumb, Darcy wondered about Brian. Had he given her the flower just to be nice, or did the rose mean something more?